A recent study at Northwestern Medicine in Chicago has shown certain RNA molecules have a built-in suicide mechanism, which could be used to protect us from cancer. Joining us right now is Dr. Marcus Peter, the Tom D. Spies Professor of Cancer Metabolism and senior author of the study. Thank you for being here, Dr. Peter.
Well, thank you for having me, and happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, thanks. Yes. Now, there's a lot of heavy science going on here, Dr. Peter, and not a whole lot of time. So if you can, break it down. Talk to us like we're in third grade. Explain what these cells are and how they work.
Yeah, so, I mean, the whole thing came out of a little bit of frustration that we have not made the progress in, you know, defeating cancer we all hoped, right, 30-40 years ago. And so basically we started over and we're looking for mechanisms that nature developed over, you know, hundreds of millions of years to prevent cancer formation. And we're thinking, could that be a way we could use to turn against cancer and fight it today? And so that was basically the start of the study. And what we found was a mechanism that is based on certain molecules that we have in all cells, all living organisms have them, and they basically are highly toxic. And it turns out we can kill all cancer cells. And it seems to be rather specific that normal cells are not affected.
Wow.
And see, what I gathered from the lengthy article I read of yours, and that's why I said it's such deep science. Your theory, I think, is that this mechanism sort of evolved or developed in cells, like you said, 500 million years ago, prior to the establishment of, say, an actual legitimate immune system in the bodies of different organisms, correct? So this mechanism with the RNA flipping on and off has been sort of forgotten because it's so old and ancient that you've rediscovered it, and it seems to be able to keep things from getting cancer.
Well, I think, yes, you need to understand that cancer is probably as old as multicellular organisms are. Mm-hmm. The latest estimates is multicellular organisms about 2.1 billion years old. The adaptive immune system, so that's the main part of our immune system that fights cancer cells, for instance, or infections, is only about 500 million years old. So the question was, indeed, what protected multicellular organisms for the first 1.5 billion years of development? There's got to be something. There had to be something really powerful embedded in every cell, kind of a suicide mechanism, that a cell, at the moment it goes rogue and becomes cancerous, can get eliminated. And it's got to be very powerful because we all are direct descendants from a single cell organism that lived 3.5 billion years ago, and we're still here. If our gene line would have been disrupted only once, none of us would be here. And cancer is a big problem, so it had to be something very powerful, and it had to predate the immune system indeed.
Dr. Peter, where are you currently on the research of this technology?
We are attacking this in multiple fronts. We're trying to identify better reagents to induce this. We did indeed also publish in this lengthy study that you mentioned that chemotherapy in a great part actually engages this mechanism. So because we never really knew how chemo worked, it came out of the First World War, some nerve gas that was used on kids initially in the 40s and 50s. And we're still using it today. And the idea was that that chemo basically targets rapidly dividing cells. And that never made sense to me because the most rapidly dividing cells in our body is the lining of our stomach and intestines. And if you give chemo to patients and you lose your stomach and intestine lining, not a good thing. You wouldn't survive it. So chemo had to have a different mechanism. We'll be now showing, and that's what we're researching at the moment, that chemo is actually unleashing this wave of toxic small RNAs in the cell, killing the cancer cells in a way that it cannot become resistant. And you have to understand, you cannot become resistant to chemo. Patients can become resistant because they cannot tolerate higher concentrations, higher amounts of chemo, but the individual cancer cells will never become resistant. And that's exactly the core of what we discovered, that the cancer cells cannot develop resistance to it. So we're studying various aspects. Of course, the main focus is to turn this into a new form of therapy, either in form of viruses we introduce into patients, or small molecules, or nanoparticles. And we are researching all of this at the moment.
How would you be delivering this to a patient? Would it be a pill, a patch, nano technology? How would you administer this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the so-called targeted therapy these days is done with small molecules. They're as small as an aspirin, right?
Okay.
That compound. So that basically you take a pill and it gets into every cell in the body and does its job. These molecules we're talking about, we're studying, they're a little more complex, they're larger, so they have a harder time in getting into cells, mm-hmm. so we have to help them. And so either we will package them into certain viruses, or we'll couple these molecules to nanoparticles, or my favorite, to certain small vesicles that cells produce themselves. That's basically the natural way that cells communicate through this mechanism, exchanging RNA. So we're trying to hijack this other nature-developed mechanism to also deliver those small RNAs to the cancer cells. The beauty of it is we don't have to target the cancer cells. We really, just like an aspirin, want to deliver this to every cell in the body, and we hope that only the cancer cell will respond.
But if you're delivering this type of quote-unquote, like medicine to be able to destroy cancer, are you also going to harm the other cells to which this is being given?
Yeah, that's one of the most fascinating parts of the story in my eye, and that is, it turns out that the normal cells are, for the most part, protected. We actually use this in what we call preclinical mouse models, mice having human cancers, and there is no side effects in these mice.
We believe that
almost all cells in the body are protected, in the body are protected by small RNA molecules that are not toxic. They are in every cell in very high quantities. And you need to understand that for all a cancer cell to become a really good cancer cell, mm-hmm. meaning move around, invade other tissues, and metastasize, as we say, yeah. it has to downregulate these non-toxic small RNAs we call microRNAs, and then it becomes susceptible. It's kind of a given. It has to do that. Otherwise, we'll always stay a nice, differentiated cell, not moving, and will not be a problem for a patient. So that's, I think, the main reason between normal and tumor cells. Tumor cells, in order to become a good tumor cell, they have to downregulate these protective RNAs, mm-hmm. and now they become susceptible to the toxic ones that we're introducing.
Dr. Peter, just real quick, as we close the segment, how far away are we from human trials?
We hope to have this, if everything works out, in trials within the next 5 to 10 years. It always wow. takes a long time because there's a lot of development. It's just turning this into a medicine that can be put in a shelf. Physician can, you know, put it in a syringe and give it, administer to patient. That development alone can take quite some time.
It's a shame something that could drastically change cancer patients' lives is still 5 to 10 years away. But thank you so much, Dr. Marcus Peter, the Tom D. Spy Professor of Cancer Metabolism and senior author of the study. Thank you for being on the program to discuss this RNA molecule with the suicide mechanism.
It's pretty incredible stuff.
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Peter.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Have a great one. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Wow.
Incredible.
It really
Imagine
is.
Imagine just being able to pop a pill 10, 15, 20 years from now, and you're not going to get cancer. Unreal.
And you heard it here first.